Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. It is I, Lyle Swithenbank, your host. This is, of course, a sportsethos.com presentation. I'm calling in from, not really sunny Perth, but what I've done for all of the people out in Pel's world is I've assembled a crack team of some of the biggest Pel's fans down under. I get this question all the time. People go, are you the only one down there? And no, the answer is no. So I've got the guys together. We have formed a little team and we're going to be chatting Pels today. I am joined by Brenton Eckersley from Adelaide, Aiden from Port Macquarie, and Ads from Melbourne. Brenton, how are you going? Good to have you on the pod.
Mate, just an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for organising this and giving us, remote Australian Pelicans fans a chance to chat about our favourite team and what got us here, you know.
Oh, we're the satellite fans, I guess, the satellite fan base down under. And Ads, cheers for joining us from Melbourne. A bit frosty over there at the moment.
No, it's absolutely freezing, mate.
Yeah, and Aiden, over in New South Wales, a bit wet over there at the minute, isn't it?
I got a couple of sprinkles today, but it's dried up a little bit over the last week or so, which is good.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks for the for them clearing that off, because it's been pretty wild and woolly, I've seen. So what I've done is basically wrangled someone from every part of Australia. And so you can sort of compare accents if there are any differences, and you can see if there is any change for all of the Americans trying to do a case study out there as to whether or not we all talk the same. Guys, the Pelicans. I had to assemble you because I needed to justify why we go for this team. And I wanted to talk about how we came to this fandom. I've talked about it on the pod throughout the journey, but I'd love to hear your guys' stories. And I think I'll kick off. Brenton, you want to let us know how you started supporting the New Orleans Pelicans?
Yeah, sure. So it's probably a little different journey for me. I am just a fantasy tragic, a sports fantasy tragic. And I've played fantasy sports all my life and watched a lot of NBA when I was younger, a much younger man, but kind of left it alone for quite a many years. But then picked up on this amazing thing called DFS or Daily Fantasy Sports, where I could play NBA fantasy every day without really knowing who any of the players were. And eventually, when you're investing money into something, you tend to pick up on who the players are pretty quickly. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago. And along the journey, a young man by the name of Brandon Ingram just happened to catch my eye. He was a Laker at the time. But I loved to watch him play and just, you know, enjoyed his basketball. And after a couple of years and, the Anthony Davis trade and all of that, and he ended up a Pelican. And I just found myself wanting to watch him, wanting to watch the Pelicans, to the point where I am rooting hard for them, you know, can't miss a Pelicans game. A huge, huge Pelicans fan now. And I think I've probably come on board at just about the right time.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, Brandon Ingram, we've watched the growth of him. It's been fantastic. And we'll get to him later on in the show. But it's crazy how we gravitate towards players. I mean, for me, big fan of a few different teams throughout the journey. And then I guess inheriting the podcast and then really delving into a team, you just get emotionally invested, especially when you see these guys, I suppose, grow and develop. And it is.
It's 100%. Awesome. And I was completely happy, Lyle, just watching basketball for fantasy's sake. I was so happy not barracking for any particular team. And, yeah, I just couldn't help myself, fell in love. The Pelicans chose me. I didn't choose them.
It's a, I think it's a bit like that. You're sort of, and once you're in, you're in. You're hooked in. And, I mean, Ads, what were your thoughts on it? Why did you join the Pelicans? I'd love to hear this story.
So I've said it a few times on Twitter, just that like I started supporting basketball as young as I can remember. I've been playing since I was 5. And, you know, like as an Australian, you have to pick a team every sport you play, whether it be cricket, footy, whatever. So there were only 4 teams back in like 92 that you got to see in Australia. It was the Lakers, Orlando, the Bulls, and the Hornets at the time. So I just chose the Hornets because they had cool colours. And then, you know, we drafted Larry Johnson and then Alonzo Mourning, and it was love at first sight. My mum actually hunted down someone around Christmas time because she saw a kid wearing an Alonzo Mourning jersey and hunted the mum down and said, "Where'd you get that from?" And that was me Christmas present in 93. But ever since then, it's just been Hornets, Pelicans, everything.
That's awesome.
It has been a dire existence for a few of those years, though.
So long to, well, you know, long time, decades long, I suppose New Orleans, Charlotte / New Orleans fan and now stuck with us. And it's good to have you on board. I mean, it's great to have people who have seen, I suppose, the evolution of the Pelicans and its predecessors, throughout the different errors and still supporting the team. And like you said, it hasn't been smooth sailing to say the least. And hopefully we're turning a corner. I might be jinxing it and everyone's going to hold me to this, but I'm really excited for this year. Aiden, all the way from Port Macquarie, what do you think about the Pels and why are you supporting
it? Yeah, so I had a workmate basically pressure me into start following some US sports about 5 years ago now. Anyway, it started with the NFL and following the Saints. Picked them, basically remember playing Madden when I was a kid. Used to play as the Saints all the time. So funny enough, they had a basketball team as well in New Orleans. So just started following them and basically gravitated towards Jrue Holiday. Massive Jrue Holiday fan, big fan of his, and that's why I stuck with them pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Saints supporter as well. I think I was probably the other way around where I started with basketball and then sort of moved into the NFL, started playing NFL fantasy, a bit like a bit of a fantasy tragic myself and not any good at it, but enthusiastic. And I suppose that's what counts. But yeah, I love the Saints, love the Pels, and I suppose New Orleans sport in general, it's infectious. And I think that's been a real big thing this year, has been this change in culture and change in narrative. I mean, we've been, in quotation marks, down in the dumps for decades, I guess, and people have, you know, stuck by the side and in varying levels of support throughout the journey. But this year, and particularly the season just gone, was this preached changing culture, changing the narrative, and you could feel it. I feel like there's so many more people invested. We're getting the casual fans and the like, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Well, I mean, you've seen the evolution of the fandom. How did you feel about the last season and this change in culture?
This has been like the last season just gone, even with the Zion stuff up in the air, it's been one of, if not my favorite season being a Pelicans / Hornets fan. Just we've had so much crap of superstars wanting to leave. And even in after 2018, when we beat the Blazers, we did just beat them. Right. But we always had the looming Anthony Davis is going to leave stuff. Like we were never locked in, and the franchise didn't really have direction because that was always. But this season, like we hired the right coach after a few goes. The front office is in lockstep with each other. We've got a young core, Zion signed. Ingram, we've got Ingram's our leader. And everything looks like it's finally locked into place. to hit the next step. Like, we were almost there in like 08 with that team, but then West got injured. But like, we're healthy. Fingers crossed, we're healthy. And we've just got a good season. Like, we don't have anything looming. Everyone's locked up. Everyone's contracted. Got the coach, got the players, got the front office. I just think we're good to go.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think we're really in a situation now that is setting us up for the future, if not the now, I guess, the present. It's crazy to think that now everyone locked in and I suppose the future is sort of set, touch wood, unless some, I don't know, massive turn of events happens. It seems to be pretty well settled, especially the roster coming into this year. Aidan, your thoughts on this change in culture and change of narrative? I mean, it's been preached at us. Did you feel it this year as well?
Oh, big time, big time. This has been a massive year for that. I think first off, we just got to shout out Antonio Daniels for basically a lot of the stuff he's done. Being a respected voice around the league and respected player when he did play, I think he really, I guess, pushed that a lot on Twitter and even the podcast he's went on. You know, he's gone on some pretty big national podcasts now. And so, yeah, I'd just like to shout out Antonio Daniels for changing that. But, yeah, it's crazy. It's gone from every week or every NBA Today show of Anthony Davis is gone, this is gone, to nothing. You know, they don't say anything now. And it's pretty amazing. You know, Zion's buying in and he's not, you know, he's starting to talk to the public and stuff now. And yeah, it's good. They can't really throw us under the bus anymore. And yeah, no, it's been good.
I found it's been really nice to not get this national sort of agenda against the Pelicans, particularly since I honestly think the turning point was probably getting CJ McCollum. I mean, Kendrick Perkins got called out on Spaces, which was one of the best mob mentalities I've ever seen, is being able to wrangle a guy like that off and make him retract his statements and eat his words, which I am still to this day flabbergasted that he jumped on there and did. Yeah, it's
all-time Pelicans moment. Spaces was when he actually stood up and chatted for a good 50 minutes with the fans. All-time moment. Some of the stuff that was said to him, he's got a good sense of humor, doesn't he?
Oh, to be able to take all that sort of, you know, there was a bit of back and forth in that, and you know, some of the things that were said were you raise your eyebrows at, but geez, it was funny. And to have a guy like that say, well, I'll put my money where my mouth is. Should Zion resign? I mean, it's fantastic. And Brendan, did you have any thoughts about that? You know, Zion resigning, is that also a sign of the changing culture?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think that's the ribbon around the package, right? So we've all been waiting for Zion to resign, and in the background, things were developing along, especially last season with Willie Green coming on board. I think that was absolutely key for the Pelicans to get the right coach. It's 100% clear that we now have the right coach. You can feel the energy in the locker room, or, you know, that is obviously emanating from the locker room, because you can see it on the court. You can see it when these guys are hanging out at Summer League. You can see it when they're in practice and you get those short clips on Twitter or social media. You can see the infectiousness that this coach has had around the locker room and the bringing together of this team as a bunch of guys who really want to be together. And that was such a key to last season. It was strikingly different to the season before. And the whole Zion actually signing, I mean, all four of us would have been just as excited the day that we actually saw the notifications on Twitter or wherever we were seeing them. You know, that was the culmination of this change in culture. What was going on in the background, we don't really know, because we're not in the locker room and we're not the players managers. But to actually have, you know, pen to paper with you know, one of the league's most freakish athletes and potential, God knows what the limit is, top 10 player, who knows, to have him sign on and just, you know, put the nail in the coffin for all the Pelicans haters out there. That was, yeah, one of the best moments for me in the last little while.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I mean, I was over the moon. I did that little video, which was a little bit salty, a little bit petty, but you know, well, they made their bed. They got a lie in it, I guess. I thought Zion re-signing was just, the cherry on top. You could see he was chomping at the bit at the end of last year during the playoff run and the like that he wanted to be playing. And to see what he looks like now versus then, I mean, the bloke's been working hard. He looks strong. He looks fit. And I don't think he was ready then. I think he's ready now. And touch wood, he can keep himself healthy. And gosh, I'd be nervous to be coming up against a bloke like that with a bit of a chip on his shoulder after all the flack he's been copping in the last year or so. But, you know, this season, while we have such fond memories of this season, it actually started pretty bloody woefully. 1-12 start, 3-16, to then get into the play-in, to then win two play-in games, which, I don't know, it's only happened once before, I suppose, in the 2 years of play-in, so maybe that's not bad statistics, but to then make a playoff push and push these Suns to six games, it showed a bit of grit and a bit of determination and a culture. You know, you've got to fight. That speech, I think it resonated with everyone. Ooh. I mean, I can still hear it. I mean, you shared it in the group chat, and wow, it still hits the same. I think that should be like in any hype track ever. It's just you're struggling running, put that in your ears and you'll run through a brick wall, I think. So that being said, this culture and this roster and this group together has really shown something. And to add Zion to it, I mean, it's just going to be a fantastic little bonus. Brenton, I'll start with you on this one. Do you think the roster is settled? I mean, everyone's under contract. Obviously, the disappointing news about EJ Liddell with the ACL in Summer League. Dyson takes that other spare roster spot, being Tony Snell's, or formerly Tony Snell's spot. Do you think there's any other moves foreseeable, or do you think this roster is settled?
I think it's pretty settled. I think the lack of activity, for want of a better way to say it, over this off-season by the Pelicans probably shows that the head office and the coaching group and potentially the playing group as well is fairly happy with where this sits. I mean, you're now talking about CJ, BI, Zion, Jonas, and Herb Jones as a, you know, probable starting five most nights. What's wrong with that? That is a super group of talented and athletic guys and good on the defensive end. You got all these nice young backup guys. You got Trey, you got Jose, we got Dyson Daniels now. This is a young package, but it is a serious package. Like you said, I wouldn't want to be the team that has to come up against this group of motivated, young, talented players all on the court at one time. I think we're deep. I think we've got exuberance. I think we've got confidence now. I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, 100%. I think the overarching is belief. This team believes that they can hang with anyone, and then now you've got the talent to do it. When you fight back from 1-12, they're all in the trenches. You then add CJ McCollum. You then have an off season where everyone's together. I mean, they were all in Las Vegas, besides JV, who was in Lithuania. But besides that, like, everyone was there, and they seem to put the Instagrams and all that sort of carry-on's been going on, and they're all together. And I mean, it's great to see, and great as a supporter, because we've seen it in multitude of sports. Is if the team's together and they want to play together, they play better. It's just, you know, you get in lockstep, as Ads had said earlier, the David Griffin quote. Ads, what are your thoughts on the roster? Do you think there's anything we're missing, or do you think we're pretty much settled? Anything that you'd add or not add?
The reason I'm not a GM is because I would suck at roster construction, but I don't think we're done. I really think that there's like a consolidation move to either get another defender, like a wing defender, three-point shooter, a 3-and-D guy, basically. But what that package looks like, though, I think maybe Jax might be on his way out as sort of a key part to that, because I think we really just want to stick around with the shooting. And I think the shooting and the defense, especially. And I think Jax becomes a little bit expendable with Nance probably going to get big minutes, especially with Zion coming back into that rotation. And, you know, Devontae's up in the air at the moment with his stuff as well. He's got his legal troubles. And he's been in every trade conversation that we've had. I think that there's just a consolidation move to open up a roster spot to get a player, I think. I don't know what that is or who that is. I just think that there's more moves to be done. But the whole league's just held up by Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. No one wants to move.
I think we're seeing that. I mean, DeAndre Ayton had to force the hand of the Suns to be able to get his max contract. And I think with the Suns responding as quickly as they did, they were sort of holding out that maybe they'd still be in the sweepstakes for KD if he was, in fact, traded. I think Rudy Gobert trade completely cooked any value in the market at the moment because the Timberwolves sold the house on him.
Was out of control.
That is complete mismanagement by the Suns, though. It's just mismanagement from the get-go.
Yeah, 100%. We heard these rumblings for a couple of years, the way they were treating DA there. So no wonder it was like, well, come on, you're taking the mickey out of me. Well, I'm going to sign here and this is what you're going to pay me. I'm happy with this. I agree to a degree that if there is a move that's made, I think it's Jax and Devontae are the two players there that will probably be moved. I mean, particularly because Devontae is another one of those small guards. We've got a couple of those now, and then Dyson Daniels, depending on how much he contributes straight away, probably makes him expendable in terms of a ball handler. Although Devontae is more of that catch and shoot guy that was forced to sort of handle the rock this year. Jax is also eligible for an extension. So are you going to pay this guy 10, 15, 20 million to sit on the bench and perhaps not contribute quite as much? We've been waiting for him for 3 years. If he does hang around, well, maybe he bets. Well, I think he's going to have to bet on himself and hopefully get himself a nice little tasty offer in restricted free agency next year. But I guess we'll see what happens there. Aiden, any thoughts on that roster construction? Would you like to see him go and get anyone, or what do you reckon?
Well, I think it goes the other way in terms of starting wise. I mean, in a way, we're adding an All-NBA, 27 points per game, 60% shooter, power forward back into the team. You know, I think you look at the starting lineup, we didn't have that all year. So in a way, you could say we're adding that back into the team. And for the bench wise, you guys basically covered it. I think it's pretty solid other than Jackson and Devontae, but even then, Devontae was brought in to play behind Zion, so you don't really know what they're going to do with that part of it. But both of them have legal issues. I don't know how serious the Pelicans take that kind of stuff. But yeah, I just look at it as if we're adding an All-NBA player back into the starting lineup, and I think that's all that really should matter. And then they can just relook at it at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it may be that situation that perhaps now that the market is a bit skewed, that they hold pat until maybe February, and if we need to get that final piece to sort of push it over the edge, well, maybe we do it again. But it's tricky because, like you said, with the legal issues of Devontae and Jackson, does that impede their value? Well, who knows? If there's, you know, we've seen with Miles Bridges' situation at the moment, which is just bloody terrible, all that sort of carry on coming out about that. Will the league step in and start addressing things like this? Because we've seen other guys, sort of have it, like their legal troubles not affect it quite as much, and perhaps that will become a bigger issue down the line. Obviously, like in the AFL, you have things like bringing the game into disrepute and things like that. I don't think they have that in the NBA, but perhaps that is an issue. Brenton, what were your thoughts on that?
I think that sport as a you know, a grounds for this type of thing where we're talking about legal issues is actually one of the most forgiving places on earth, or spaces on earth. And I think that there's a line, obviously, like you just mentioned Miles Bridges. I think that's way past the line. But generally, in the sports world, indiscretions can be kind of forgiven based on talent, let's say. Sometimes it happens a lot over here in the AFL. We've got some guys commentating who, in my opinion, shouldn't be anywhere near a frigging microphone for the past things that they've been involved with. But, I just think maybe the legal side of things, unless the NBA steps in and changes things, it's probably not too much of an issue for these two guys. That's just my two cents anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. And I think, talent does seem to skew it as well. I read a good article, and I forget that I didn't write a name down who wrote it. It was about stop putting the stat line in a charges sort of thing over sports people. So they say, oh, this bloke, did X, Y, Z issue, but scored average 7 points, 8 rebounds and 3 assists this year for the Toronto Raptors. And, why is that relevant in any of this situation? I think it's one of those, and sorry to get deep on the pod today, but there's quite an interesting topic. Why that becomes a talking point at all when, if it was any other bloke, Lyle, podcast host averaging 200 episodes, that doesn't get written at the end if I had any indiscretion, you don't see it in any other industry, which I think is interesting. But anyway, we digress. What all these faithful listeners want to talk about, and maybe we'll take a break before, but after the break, we're going to have a chat about Dyson Daniels, Australia's own Dyson Daniels. Ooh, I know we're all pretty excited about it. So we'll take a break, and then if you can hang around, guys, we'll get back into it after this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Before the break, we were chatting all things Pelicans with my Australian friends and fellow supporters. We've got Ads, Aiden, and Brenton, and we were going to have a chat about Australia's own Dyson Daniels, obviously selected when I learn how to speak, selected number 8 by the New Orleans Pelicans this past draft. Very excited, young fella from regional Victoria, and loves seafood. He's ready to try the seafood of New Orleans, is what we've heard when everyone asks him what he's heard about it. So looking forward to seeing what he can do on the court. Ads, what are your thoughts on Dyson?
So I don't really have that many, except for what I've seen from mainly YouTube highlights and his little stint in the All-Star weekend, which, proven winner already, helped his team win. But he just fits into the mold of how Australians get really taught how to play basketball. We are just defensively minded from age 5. If you show any talent, you're a defensive player. And look at the guys who have come through for us, Bogut, obviously 7-footer, but defensive. Dally, defensive. Paddy Mills, not defensive. But look at all the rest of the guys. They're just defensive guns. And that's how they get into, now we're seeing the talent come through, the guys who can shoot. Simmons is a defender as well. That's just how, him being Australian and also a Victorian boy warms the cockles of this grown man's heart. It's just good to see a young, and the man is talented. The man is very talented. And just, let's go. He just fits this roster well.
Yeah,
he's just that interchangeable defensive guy who can score, but the scoring isn't the primary part of his game. So that's just, I can't wait. I cannot wait. We're going to get some Vegemite to some of our American, some of yours, sorry, not ours, your American listeners.
Yeah, we do need to get some over there. Yeah, when I head over towards the end of the year, perhaps that will be packed in the suitcase, but I don't know if I'll be able to convince people to eat it. I think people, when you see me coming at you, a little bit, they'll be a little bit shook with my red moustache and broad Australian accent. I think it's going to catch a few of them off guard, particularly saying, hey, eat this, this black tar-like. exactly. Ads has also got a glorious red moustache, such as myself, which we love to see. We'd love to represent that. What was I going to say? Dyson Daniels, I completely agree. He is he's a prototypical guard as well. I mean, being 6'8", they were talking about before he got injured in Summer League that he might be playing 1 through 5. They're even going to try him as like a small ball center, which when you've got a center that can ball handle and defend like that, I mean, come on. I don't know how it would have worked, but if you've got that ability to play basically 4 guards or 4 ball handlers at once, I mean, or even 5, it's a luxury. And to have a guy that is defensive-minded first, we saw that last year with Herb Jones. Get a defender and you teach him how to shoot or repair their jump shot, and that seems to be the one knock on Dyson is this spotty jump shot. And again, is that just because he didn't have to shoot in the G League? I don't know. A lot of things are based off the statistics and the like. And I mean, I've watched a bit of film on him, but again, I didn't watch every G League game. I haven't seen heaps of him. And will he take a jump in the NBA where he gets a bit more space and, you know, he doesn't have to be that primary scorer, facilitator. He can just contribute. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
He does have Fred Vincent.
He does. He does. The school of Fred Vinson's shooting, and we've seen him repair even the most clunkiest jumpers. Carbon copy there, the CC Lonzo Ball, and his shooting from the hip turned into a bit of a sniper towards the end of his reign at the Pels. Hayden, did you have any thoughts on Dyson Daniels? Have you looked into him at all?
Oh, not an oval, like, not a lot, but... The small amount that I've seen at Summer League, it was pretty amazing. The court vision that he has in the offense, like the speed that he can get the ball out to another player, not dick around with it. He just gets around the pick and roll, gets it to the open man. And I don't know, this is something weird that I found, but he could throw these bullet passes that were just so easy to catch. Petty was catching them in the corner and just knocking down those threes. It was ridiculous. And like he only did that in, what was it? Did he play eight minutes, nine minutes or something?
Yeah.
And straight away I was like, wow, that is smooth. Like he was just smooth. I'm not worried about his 3-point shooting. He doesn't have to score for us. He really doesn't. He's going to be playing with on the back of Zion and Brandon Ingram. He's not going to have to score 20 points. You know, I think that's the luxury of us getting that Lakers pick. You know, we're a playoff team. We're not a bottom feeder team. We've got all-star players where we're looking at going one step further, and he doesn't have to come in and light the world on fire. He just got to do his job, defend hard, rebound, just get assists, make plays, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose when you add a young guy, I mean, what is he, 18 years old, still growing, had a growth spurt in between, you know, being drafted and, finishing G League and being drafted. Now, listed at 6'8", as we were saying, I mean, his ability to read the court, control the offense, hit passes or even attempt passes that most people wouldn't even see, I think is a real luxury. And then to be able to bring him along slowly, such as like we did with Trey Murphy and guys like that last year, there's not many teams that would be able to do that, especially in the top 10. Those guys are meant to come in and contribute for the most part. For most teams, they're looking at a bit of a difference maker in the lottery, whereas we have that benefit of, you know, getting a real high upside guy who could contribute from day one, but he probably won't have to. And I think that's a real, like a huge luxury and a huge bonus for his development as well, that he will be able to, proceed with that and develop his game as he goes along. Now, I have held on to you for a while, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your Wednesday evening to have a chat with us. One thing that I think we need to do is look in the crystal ball and what do we expect from this season? I'll start with Aiden again on this one. What do you think of this season coming up? Are you hopeful? Are we excited? I know we sort of alluded to it.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. I think a top six. You know, I don't think we should be in the play-in personally. You know, the Jazz, they've obviously fallen out of the top eight now. I don't think Dallas made the moves to keep them at the top of the West. And there's always injuries. You know, Denver, they've got two guys coming off the year out as well. So I know we've had Zion out, but we didn't have him last year. We made the playoffs. So I think, top six probably could push a little bit more, but I'm not going to stretch it that far because we still have a few young guys there. But no, I don't think anything less than six, you know, and just Brandon Ingram, I think should be an all-star this year. Zion will probably be an all NBA player. I don't see, like, he had a foot injury, yeah, but you know, he's not going to be any worse than what he was 2 years ago or two seasons ago. So yeah, top six, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we, on paper, we aren't a playing team. I think we're better than that. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Making reference to Denver, you know, the Clippers are getting Kawhi back. They've added John Wall, which in 2014 would have been a fantastic team. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Clippers can do, whether these Lakers manage to put it together, whether the Twin Towers over at Minnesota decide to do anything, what the Jazz do. The West is just bizarre because, you know, Dallas letting Brunson go, but then getting Christian Wood. Does that work? I don't know. You can never really count Luka out. What are the Suns doing? Are they in disarray with, I don't know, what they're trying to do? Have they got the opportunity to improve, or is this the final form? Can the Warriors do it again? Gosh, the Kings have got Sabonis, and, you know, can they do anything? Probably not, but sorry, Kings. You know, it's interesting. Spurs as well are always a pain in the behind in terms of just competing, even though they probably can't, even though they got rid of DeJounte Murray. It's bizarre. Brenton, what's your forecast? I mean, Brandon Ingram All-Star has to be a lock, surely.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. You know, that's one thing I'd love to see this season. That young man just finally get what is coming to him, you know, in terms of media attention and fan attention and that type of thing. The guy's a superstar. We know it over here. I think that not enough other people around the league quite see it. You see it on Twitter, you know. Just not enough love for that guy. He is a superstar now, in my opinion. As far as the Pels overall, I think on paper, like, as long as everyone stays healthy, there's, you know, what did Swin Cash say? The sky's the view. I think top six is absolutely well within reach. And as you said, Lyle, the West is weird now. Like, there's been so much movement and we're not sure where any of these teams are going to end up and if they're going to work well together. I think on paper, we make a whole lot more sense than some of these other teams. And I'd love to see us, you know, hit the six or above. Absolutely. That's my hope. Not play-ins, serious playoffs. And I'd like to see us get past at least the first round this time.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And I think, look, we've got the people there. We've got all of the support, all of the coaching staff. We've got the players. We've got the fans. I mean, fingers crossed. And I mean, there's got to be some winners and losers in this. Let's just hope that, touch wood, everyone's healthy. And all of a sudden, we're making some real noise at the pointy end of the season. Ads, what are your thoughts on the season? Are you optimistic?
I'm never optimistic about an upcoming Pelican season, except for this one. Look, my expectations from this season are Memphis last season. Yeah. Why can't we do what Memphis did? we have everything in place. We have just, we're ready to go. And I think we kind of have a better roster. Like, they did they exceeded every expectation that they had last season. I really think we're a top four team in the West, just on paper. And if we put it together on the court early, if we suck at the start of the season, but if we do it early and we get out to, like, you know, 8-3 run to start the season off, why can't we win 47 games?
Tell you what, if we get out to an 8-3 run to start the season, teams will be sitting up and looking at the New Orleans going, what is going on there?
Yeah, we'll probably get Dallas four times at the start of the season and just get Luka coming off. But yeah, like, we have very high expectations for this team. Like, we're getting everyone at the right time. That third, like, Herb's a different animal. Herb is just a beast of a human being. But he's already in that starting defensive stop. He's going to be an all-defensive candidate next year. Like, we have that player. We've got Zion. We've got B.I. B.I. will be an all-star. Lock that up. But Jonas as well. Jonas is going to put himself into the... Like, he had an amazing season. He was a leading three-point shooter in the first 20 games last season.
That's right.
He... Look, the players on this team and how, like, once... McCollum got there last season. That is the smoothest journey you've seen that this organization have in 10 years. They just all clicked, and you're adding a generational talent who, by all accounts, all the players love, the staff love. Zion's like, Zion is coming into this team. Like, why not think top four?
Yeah, well, like Brent said, and channeling Swing Cash, the sky is the view. And I mean, I'm chomping at the bit. Honestly, I think it's just going to be such a... Oh, I can't get out of myself. I can't do it to myself, but I'm excited. I am. I am up and about. And I think it's going to be just a fantastic year. Regardless of the outcome, I'm excited to see the guys. I think they're going to fight, as we know that they do. They're going to come in with an expectation and I suppose a target on their backs as well. In some circumstances, because they see all these guys together. And I think if we have that 8-3 start as potentially predicted, we'll see what the schedule looks like in a couple of weeks. But, I mean, all of a sudden...
Spoken like a bloody lawyer,
Lyle. Yeah, wishy-washy answer. Everything is yes and no. Nothing is... You never sign your name to anything, I'll tell you what. That's just good advice, but not actual advice. I have to put a disclaimer into this now, but that's not advice. But guys, I appreciate all of your time tonight. It's been fantastic chatting with you guys, and no doubt we'll be watching the season unfold in front of us and no doubt be yarning on during the year as to how it all comes together. And we'll have to do it again sometime. Brenton, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? Where can we find you? Anything to plug? The mic is yours.
Nothing to plug, mate. But the final thought for me is Willie Green. Just coach Willie Green. I am so impressed with that man, how he brought a dilapidated roster together, missing their all-star, and fought right through to, you know, a first round of playoffs and nearly got there. I am so impressed with how he's brought this locker room together. I can't wait to see what he can do with a full complement of players. That's it. That's my final word, Willie Green.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a good way to cap off. Ads, any final thoughts?
Well, we didn't fuck around and have sex with any spiders, did we?
No, we didn't. We didn't. That's later
it
on.
Had to come up.
it was always going to come up. Bloody Americans not understanding Australian slang. But other than that, like, yeah, I've just pumped as shit to watch this team play. I've been really biting my tongue all day on the swearing as well.
Mate, let rip. Oh, yeah. No dramas.
We're going to be a fucking top four team in the West, and we're going to have a winning record against the East next season. Lock it in. I don't gamble, and that's why.
I'm excited. And Aiden, what do you reckon? Any final thoughts, any comments?
I just want to shout out Rocky because I think she's still trying to work out the old not even fuck spiders quote. I think that was hilarious. I think she's still laughing at that. I think final thoughts to me was us Aussies need to come out of the woodwork. We need to band together. I know there's more than just the four of us. You know, I got the Pearls 12 down under page there. That's 20 something strong now, but I know there's more. You see him all the time. See him on Reddit, see him on Twitter, you see him on Facebook. We've got to band together. We've got to show the US that there's a huge following for New Orleans sport in Australia. And I think, especially getting Dyson now, we're definitely going to see those Daniels jerseys parading around town. And yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to see a heap of Dyson Daniels jerseys. Like we've seen Giddy, like we've seen Ben Simmons, like we've seen Bogut and Deli and Joe Ingles all throughout the journey. And all of a sudden, people are Philly fans and they're this, well, come aboard. A good time to join. It's a great time to be a New Orleans Pelicans fan. And if you aren't a member of the Bells 12 Down Under on Facebook, well, let us know. We can put you in touch with Aiden and you can jump in there and join the group and we chat Bells and put our thoughts in there and lots of, carry on and all that sort of jazz in there. So we're building an army, a Bells army, and it's Down Under and the fan base is worldwide. And guys, I just like to extend my thanks very much. Brenton, anything you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, sorry. I just thought maybe Twitter handles might be a good idea. Like if we're going to try and pull some Aussie Pels fans together, maybe some Twitter handles. Mine's at Terrain72, so at TERRAIN72. If the other guys are cool to send theirs out, we can maybe pull some Aussie Pels fans together.
Yeah, Aiden?
Yeah, I'm at Docs Cards, so DOCKS Cards. Also on Instagram, a bit of a sports card and trading card collector. So I showcase all my stuff there. So if you want to have a look at some pretty unreal Drew Holiday memorabilia, have a look on there. But yeah.
And ads?
So I'm actually a really shit Twitter follower. It's basically me just bitching about AFL 90% of the time. But it's
fine.
If you want it, it's at Ads Theo. And just to, before we go, just to quote Tobias Fumke from Arrested Development about the Pels Down Under, there are dozens of us. Dozens!
Exactly right. There is. We're going strong down here. And guys, go and follow these guys. Any of the other Aussies that want to reach out, then do it. Jump on. I'll tag all the guys in the post as well so you can jump on. Give them a follow. They're all fantastic follows, and Ads is just being modest because I love his AFL takes. I think they're great. And guys, thank you very much. And we'll have to tee it up again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you very much to the guys again. As always, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank. You can follow the show at Ethos Pelicans. At Lyle Swithenbank is me. It's a great day to be a Pels fan, particularly if you're a Pels fan down under. I'll speak to you all soon, and bye for now.